Blog Talk Radio.
Grand. You gonna do it for me, babe?
Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Grindology, where we study all things professional. I am your host, Lisette Herton, and today is an awesome Thursday. Guys, why it's so awesome is because I get to spend it with you. We are in the building. Last week was my birthday, guys. It was my birthday. I planned on actually coming in on that Thursday, but I got caught up at work. That just didn't make any sense for me, just to get locked down to the point that I was like probably like within 30 minutes of getting here, and I'm like, okay, this is not going to work. But I'm here today, and we have one more day till the weekend, so thank you for that, and I thank God for that. But guys, before we get started, I have to tell you guys that what happened on my birthday last Saturday. I had so much fun. I woke up, drank. At noon, I drank. And at 7 p.m., I drank some more. And that was Friday. Was that Friday? That was Friday. Then Saturday, I got up, I drank. Saturday that afternoon, I drank, and Saturday evening, I drank some more. You know, one thing that I've learned, guys, being 42, is that you don't need people to party. You can party all by yourself. I was in there, I was two-stepping, I was playing. I went from playing, what was I playing? I was playing Jill Scott, because I'm a neo soul, so I was playing Ledisi. I went from Ledisi to Jill Scott, then I put a little Raheem Devon on, then I did some Erykah Badu, I switched off. I started two-stepping, and I played some Kim, along with some Layla Hathaway. Then I transitioned on to some Marvin and some OJs. I just went all in. I was just 2 days straight kicking it by myself. I was in the living room. I ain't even have to go nowhere. I ain't even have to go to the club. The living room was the club. So you don't have to do all that extra stuff at 42. You know, I can get up. I can do a couple of two steps. I can drink some sweet red, and I can just hang out by myself. I don't need all them clubs and stuff. I get claustrophobic now, and people be ready to go to sleep. I be ready to go to sleep. The kids was coming downstairs like, "Mom, you are partying all by yourself." I said, "I sure am. I was up in here. This was me. I was just going through and grooving." And then my mama came out two-step with me. That's all you need is your mama to come out and two-step with you in the living room. I don't need all that turn up, going to the club, VIP, sitting in the club, damn near about to go to sleep, falling asleep on the VIP, nodding off, just sitting there
looking
like I'm 42. But guys, that's one thing I learned, and this is what we're talking about today. This is our topic today. Learn lessons learned. I feel like at the end, going into my birthday week, I always have to engage and get into something that, you know, just talk about what I've learned over the year that God has allowed me to spend on this earth. And, you know, and just reflect. It's just time for reflection. But, guys, I have to let you know that this is we on TTLO Media. We do big things every week. It's nonstop. I just got to tell you that. But on Mondays, we have Missional Mondays with my engineerical guru, Dr. Dana King. Missional Mondays, always bringing the heat, starting off the week. Kicking it off. I almost about to give me 16 bars right there.
I was waiting for bars.
I was almost there. I gave you two bars. That's what happens when you turn 42. You ain't got 16 bars. You get two good ones, and you hope that they rhyme. Missional Mondays, where we kick off our week, man, just thanking God for allowing us to see another week. And then we have Tuesdays, correct? Tuesdays with Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. I love you, sister, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. She kicks it off with us and get our soul right. And then we got Thursdays. That's where your girl hangs out with you and we get your business right. We talk about all things professional, guys. How to start your business, how to launch your business, the pros and cons, and then we get a little bit into, we got like 20% of unprofessional stuff in there. I don't know where it come from in the atmosphere. And then on Fridays, we close out with Praise Break Fridays. Once again, with Reverend Dr. Dana King, who just, you know, closed out the week for us guys, so we can just thank God that he allowed us to survive another week. I don't know about you guys, but it just seems like the weeks have been going by fast. Like 2020 is almost over. Guys, I don't know what to tell you. 2020 is almost over, and we are just, I mean, I blink and the weekend is here, and I'm like, God, what happened to Monday through Friday? We are like whizzing through the years. I'm not talking about like, you know, just things going slow. I mean, fast. Like we're already about to be in September in 10 more days. I mean, where did August go? At first, you know, and I was planning on taking a trip to New Orleans August 12th, and I had to cancel because I hear that in the French Quarters, they doing more than just drinking and throwing beads. It's a little corona going on.
They passing around that COVID.
Yeah, they passing the COVID around, and I had to cancel. As much, let me tell you how much those tickets was though. $73 round trip to New Orleans. I was just like, come on now, $73 per person, and you get the you know normally. You can't afford the trip protection on it. But you can even afford the trip protection. You're like, yeah, give me the trip protection. Give me all that. $150.
Right.
Round trip.
Right.
And I still had to cancel. So I was like, oh, can't even travel no more. Guys, we got to think about the safest way to travel now, which it really isn't. Road trips is really kicking off right now. So people are just going from one end to the other, spreading COVID around in the car. They just drive over to where they got to go and and spread it. But guys, that is like the craziest thing. I really wanted to go to New Orleans. I have never been. You been to New Orleans, Dr. Dana?
Yeah, I went last year in June, and that was my first time going and actually like not working. I've been in New Orleans like 4 or 5 times. Every time I went, I was always working. It was like a quick weekend in and out. So when you're working, you really can't do much.
Yeah.
But it was the first time I actually got to go and see.
Do some.
And, yeah, and me and those char grilled oysters, we got a thing going on. So
man,
I'm trying
good.
To – that's all I want. I actually was looking them up the other day. It's funny you mentioned that. I was looking them up the other day because I am – I'm anxious to get back, but I can wait until everything is over. But, yeah, I'm going to get back down there because I can just eat about 4 or 5 dozen of them.
See, that's what I really want to go down there for. I want to go down there to eat.
No.
I wanted to get some real Cajun. Real Cajun. Real Cajun. Oh, I do want to go see Big Frida. Big Frida. You ain't never. Yeah, he the one that be like, I ain't come to play with you hoes. That's what.
I still don't know who that is, but okay.
You ain't never heard that. Yeah.
It's a dude.
It's a dude.
I'm good.
Okay. I'm just telling you, okay. The bounce queen. I just love Big Frida. I mean,
never heard of him.
Yeah. You heard him. You ain't know who it was.
I did.
Oh, so they just snuck Big Frida on you, and you was in there, and you was flipping them burgers. Don't be trying to deny. You was flipping them burgers like bounce it, bounce it, bounce it, bounce it, bounce it. You ain't even know. He ain't even know, Tanya. He ain't even know.
Wow. I'm speechless.
He's like, I'm speechless. But yeah, that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to go and eat Cajun food and see if I could catch a Big Frida show. I mean, it's one of those things, but I didn't, guys. I guess, you know, better luck when everybody is doing what they need to do to reduce the numbers. We just do not know when this thing going in, is it?
You know what I thought about? You what you said about the traveling thing. When this thing is over, like, if the airlines people were smart, they would keep the stuff low just to get people, encourage people to travel. But you know, because they done lost money, they're going to try to raise everything. They're going to shoot, skyrocket the prices right back up. But if they were thinking long term, keep them tickets at like $100.
Yeah.
And watch how fast all your flights fill up. Because right now, they're still flying half empty planes.
Yeah.
Which is costing them money. Anytime they fly a plane and every seat ain't empty and every seat ain't full, it costs money. When the hotel goes through a night and it cycles over and they have an empty room, that's money lost.
Yeah.
So it's like, keep that, man. No, it's like, because people going to be ready to go.
I'm telling you.
This time, March, April next year, like, because spring break and everything got somewhat canceled. Didn't you get spring break? Got canceled, didn't it?
Even though people were still hanging out.
They were still hanging out. So
people
all that
still
stuff,
kicking it.
Right. So it's gonna be if everything is somewhat calmed down by March next year, April, May, June, it's gonna be ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. And
road trip.
I'm like, people are starting to respect those road trips though. We took a road trip to Alabama. It really was my sorority's probate.
Oh, hell
and
no.
Mike's fraternity's probate. So we drove down there and spend time there. But I'm like, I just really want to do a road trip. I just, you know, people just need to get out the house. Like, I've been back in the office like for a month now.
Oh.
So like, and I'm telling you, it's like maybe like about three or four people in the office all together, including me. I kind of like that separation of being, you know, at home versus being in the office, because you get to turn off. One thing that happens when I'm in, when I'm at home and we're working from home, I never turn off.
No.
Like, I will push it all the way to 3 o'clock, wake up at about 6, like, all right, brush my teeth, and then get, you know, just turn back on. I think that's the only thing I do like, is that you don't really have to do much. You just get up, work. You know, you ain't in nobody's face.
Your cleaning bill, be good, because you're just throwing on a,
no gas.
A shirt and
Man,
no gas.
As much as I saved on gas,
right?
Like, my gas averages about, like, $4.20 a month. About $4.20 a month. So, like, working from home, I was like, woo, I still got money in the bank. It was good. It was good, guys. Yeah, I was in there. So, you know, shout out to everybody who still got money in the bank, because now I'm still paying my transportation gas. I think when we started working from home, like, the budget just got thrown right out the window. There's so many people now who just didn't pay their rent. Like, it was never going to come back again. Like, rent was...
And, like, you still wasn't going to be behind.
Like rent was going to be eliminated because of COVID.
Like, bruh, you got $1,600 that you
come
got
on,
to pay.
Man, guys.
And so you ain't going to pay it in April. You ain't going to pay it in May. And you ain't going to pay it in June.
You're not even going to make a good face payment.
Or July. And now that the rent thing is gone, bruh, you 4 months behind on your rent. They
the rent
don't want to hear nothing about you. They ain't put you out then, but it's a wrap.
Right. You had time. You had the extra $600 a week. You had the stimulus. You had that $10,000 you finagled. You got that $10,000 you finagled.
She said finessed.
Oh, you finessed.
Yeah, right.
You finessed on through there, and you still ain't pay your. You still ain't paid, huh?
You ain't paid nothing.
And that's due.
But you flossing, though.
You flossing hard.
Wait, don't forget you looted, too, now.
Yeah, and you looted, so you got that Gucci. So you got the Gucci, you got the $10,000.
Right.
You got the stimulus. You got, like, we count this person's pockets, whoever that is.
So what you're saying is, 9 times out of 10, people probably came up on the average of about 15 G's.
Mm-hmm.
If you was getting the unemployment money.
Yeah.
If you was getting unemployment money, then you.
That was more.
That's more. So
that's 600 a week more.
So you probably came up on about 20 G's in 4 months.
Really?
And didn't pay not a damn bill.
Not a damn.
Okay.
And you came up on 3 Gucci belts.
What's the website where you can sell that stuff on?
eBay. Wayfair.
Something. Wayfair. Good Lord. It's a site you can sell, like, your, like, coach purses and stuff, like your own.
Yeah.
Use. What is it? Something.
Yeah. Okay, so you get to, you got the secondhand. So out of all that, you still ain't pay your rent. People, we got to get ourselves together. That's why we are talking today about learned lessons, lessons learned. So I'm going to kick it off, guys. We just going to get right into the meat of it. I want to talk about the lessons every successful entrepreneur has learned. Okay. So the first one is, the startup journey is one of ups and downs. And you're never out of the woods until the money's in the bank, whether you're a founder trying to take cash off the table at the B or C round or get acquired. You have to understand that if you are starting a business, and this is what I had to learn, guys, starting a business has its ups and downs. It's not, you never come out the gate right there, you know, like, launching, hit the ground running. You're going to come through some potholes. You're going to trip over yourself. You're going to overthink your ideas. You're going to go through these whole series of processes before you realize, like, you know what? I think I got it. You're going to hit your head probably like a couple of times, guys, before you really come to an understanding. So what it is succeeding is exceptionally hard for even seasoned entrepreneurs. To raise money, to gain customers, that is not an easy process. So when you're thinking about starting a business, you always have to think about, are you committed? Are you committed? when I thought about this whole process of starting my very, very first business that I started, which was a resume writing service. That was the first one I did. It was like in about, I want to say 2001. I was writing resumes. That's what I did. I would go get up, go to the job fairs, like at Navy Pier and all downtown, and I would like schedule the job fairs. And I would go out and I would pass out flyers as well as business cards offering to write people's resumes, because I knew people's resumes were jacked up. I mean, like, you never really think that. People really, you just don't believe how many people have jacked up resumes. And even now, guys, when we're, you know, in COVID, where you could just sit down and really focus on a resume, it's bad out here. It's bad out here. I've seen, you know, there's hard things, typos, like normal typos, or adding stuff. For me, guys, and this is just me sidelining now, I don't feel like you should add unnecessary things to your resume. Like, if you braid hair on the side and you're going for an IT position, I don't feel like you need to put that on your resume. You know, if you're part of, you know, a dance troupe and you put that under, like, you're affiliated but you're going for, like, a paralegal position, I feel like sometimes we try to overextend our resumes in the wrong way. I've been doing resumes ever since I was 11 years old on a typewriter. And I've always understood that you have to customize your resume to the job that you're going for. That's just, you know, that's just it. You know, unless you're going for the same position, but you always got to read a job description and identify the key points in which the hiring manager is looking for and adjust your resume and your cover letter to reflect that. You know, like, point out those bullet points, because for the most part, I'm a hiring manager myself. So when I scan through stuff, guys, for the most part, I'm just looking to make sure that you got everything that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, Excel, check. Payroll experience, check. You know, ADP check. I'm just scanning through how many years. And then I scan through how long you've been in a particular position. I look at those things. I look at if you've been primarily in, how can I say, staffing agencies. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you've 12 years going and you've been in a staffing agency and you not have one permanent position and your how can I say, your lapse is like maybe 6 months at each position.
Red flag.
You gotta know how to remove those red flags. If you work for the same staffing agency, say that. Don't right. say that you was at Johnson & Johnson for 2 months, you know, Ben & Jerry's for 2 days. You know, those things, they add up. They add up. And then don't fluff it. You know, another thing that gets me right now, if you're a professional and you're not on LinkedIn, that's concerning. You got to be, if you're a professional and you are not on LinkedIn, and if I look at your resume is stellar, that's something to be concerned about. I feel like any professional nowadays has to have a LinkedIn profile. You know, you have to be able to connect with people. You got to have people like show that you were where you said you were, you know. But I have people that, you know, they just not, you know, they're not there. They're not there. I'm sorry. But that's one of the lessons, guys, that we must learn, or that I've learned, I'll say like that, as entrepreneurs, that, you know, the startup journey is, it has its ups and downs. That's just all it is to it. Here's another lesson that I learned, guys. Your chance of succeeding with your product and vision are statistically low. So when you think about starting a business, you already know that the odds are stacked against you. You know, you already know that it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And statistically, they say that 9 out of 10 startups fail. 9 out of 10. Now, that's not to, you know, deter you or, you know, scare you into not starting a business. It just says that there's a lot more to it than just an idea. Ideas are just ideas. That's all they are. That's all they're going to ever be. It's not until you're actually out here conducting it, the business, the tasks, the activities necessary to get started, where, you know, you tend to sink or swim. Because that type of commitment, it requires so much. And what I've understood is, like, timing is everything, guys. If you have a business idea, you have to make sure that you launch that thing at the right time. You know, some people just say, oh, just get started. Just go out there and jump. But if you go out there and jump a hot mess, people, I'm going to tell you this now. It's going to be very difficult to come back from, you know. And some people have. Like, I've started off raggedly before. I started off a raggedy business before. That was my resume writing service. You know, it's like you undercharge. You end up writing stellar resumes, and then I was charging, like, I think, like, about $30. I was cheap. That was like, I'm going to say, the horrors of resume. I gave you a $30 holler and gave you a really good deal for your money. That's all I could say, a really good deal for your money. What? I did say the $30. I'm just saying, guys, you have to make sure that, you know, you understand the process. You understand what comes behind it. Another thing I've learned, guys, is don't underestimate your competition. You know, sometimes we look at our competition as just being, you know, brands, you know, or names on a plate. But those individuals are the ones that are literally doing everything that they can do to beat you out. That's the point of competition. One of the things I used to always say is that I'm not a competitor. I don't like competing. I just like doing my job and just going with the flow. But if you're starting a business, guys, you got to compete. You have people or other brands or other businesses that do the same thing that you do. Sometimes it's hard when you have an idea and you think that that idea is the original one until you see someone else out there that's doing what you do. I'm going to tell you like this. There's nothing different under the sun. Somebody has already been doing what you're doing, and you have to just keep in mind that the only thing that makes it different is your originality of it, like your personality, the extra spice that you put into a particular business. I've seen a lot of people start restaurants. I've seen a lot of people do grant writing. I've seen a lot of people, you know, promote and, you know, and encourage and empower startups and help people start up. People do 501c3s all the time. But what makes me different is that I like to be personal. I like to get engaged in understanding with the individual, with the nonprofit or with the small business. I like to see your vision. I like to see what you're seeing so that I can be able to help, you know, best help you. A lot of times we don't get that as you know, startups. As small businesses, we don't get that. We just get someone saying, oh yeah, I can do a service for you. I'm going to do the service and that's it. But for me, I take that personal because I like to treat your vision like it's my vision.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I like to show the same. It's almost like if it's your baby, I'm going to treat your baby like it's my own. Mm-hmm. You know, that means that I'm not going to provide any type of feedback or do any type of service that I wouldn't do for myself. You know, if I feel like you're not ready for a certain thing, I'm not going to just take your money. I'm going to tell you that you're not ready, and I'm going to tell you why, you know, and that helps. But if you're, you know, I've had some people that are one-track mind when it comes to, like, grants and stuff like that, and they like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, and thank you for being that type of person, but I'm still going to go out here and get somebody my money. And I'm like, fine, but that's one of the things you realize. Everybody money. That's another thing I learned, guys. Everybody money ain't your money. That's just it. You know, like, not all money is good money. You know, it costs you time and energy. As an entrepreneur, you have to realize that whatever I'm doing for in terms of a service is costing me time, energy, and just mental energy more than anything. If you're an entrepreneur that is working and you have your own business, that's really hard. That's a hard juggle. You're going in and you do a 9-to-5. Sometimes you do a 9-to-9. If you like me, sometimes you bust down like 12 hours and then still have to do things pertaining to your business. And you come to that understanding that, you know, if I'm charging a person less than what my time deserves, then I'm losing out. I'm losing out. So that's one of the things, guys, we have to learn, one of the things that I learned. Also, I've learned underestimating the shift in psychology required to succeed. So my biggest mistake was underestimating the shift in psychology required that results from transitioning from a paycheck earner to receiving your sustenance on a predictable day of the month to 100% self-reliance to producing your own. We know that in this transition as an entrepreneur, we go from living from paycheck to paycheck, which is like, you know, we're earning a living. We're doing our job. And we know that that right there is our comfort zone. Why? Because, you know, we know we're going to put in a certain level of work and we can definitely guarantee that at the end of that, those 2 weeks, we get a check. That's where our minds are conditioned. That's where my mind is conditioned. That's where we're trained to understand that, okay, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to put in these 40 hours a week, maybe even more, and then I'm going to get a check. So we're at that level when we're like starting off as an entrepreneur. And that is a hard transition to go from there to everything that you earn is solely on you being able to run and operate your business effectively, to just 100% relying on that. Sometimes as entrepreneurs, we get scared to leap out like that. And I had the opportunity to actually do that. You know, like I knew I had to. I knew I had to experience that move where, okay, I'm going to stop working and focus 100% on my business. And I'm telling you guys, like I was thirsty. There's a weaning process from making a paycheck to being a full-time entrepreneur. And that is the thirstiness. When I don't know about anybody else, guys, but when I transitioned from working a job to full-time entrepreneur, I took whatever was coming to me. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I was doing websites. I was doing mm-hmm. I was doing hair. I was selling drugs and babysitting out my house. I was doing all of it. I was the regular old baby D. I was. I'm sorry, guys. I did anything that I could get my hands on, and I did it. And I don't care. Anybody call me, can you put this stamp on the letter? I sure can. Can you? Can you? I mean, it wasn't nothing that I would not do. I'm telling you. And I was out here hustling. I turned into survival mode, and I totally forgot the vision from which I came. And so I was just like, whatever. I'm telling you, you can be a lady of the night entrepreneur. You can be that. You can, I'm just saying, guys, real talk, you can hoard your gift if you transition and you start going into survivor mode. So that's why you have to make sure that you plan that transition. You have to make sure that you're ready and you're committed to what is needed to make that transition. You also got to make sure that you got enough money in the bank. I feel like you don't do it all the way and you ain't got no emergency fund. Because then you're going to be really out there. You're going to find yourself right back in. And one of the things I can say, guys, yes, I did have to come back into, you know, corporate America and go back into working. And one of the things is I don't regret for the most part of what I had to do, because it really taught me at the end of the day that this is what you have to do when you take that next step. You have to make sure that you have. And I thought I was there. I thought I had like about, I was stored up like 15,000. That was nothing. As you get finished paying the bills and everything, you got almost like about 4 months. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how long did I, was it a year and a half? And then I had to go back, and then I started working from home with at Apple. So that was one of those transitions that I had to learn. Like, hey, next time you go out of here, you better be prepared. You better be prepared. Another thing that I learned, guys, is that the idea is personal, right? And needs to be meaningful to you. You need a strong why. You know, you have to have a why, guys. Like, he who has a why to live can bear almost any thing. And that's what, like, for us guys, if we're starting businesses that we're not passionate about, you're going to find yourself in a very, very hard position, because soon you get to a point where when you get burnt out, when you get tired, when you get, you know, frustrated and impatient because your business has not kicked off the way that you wanted it to. And when it comes to those particular aspects, guys, you just have to understand, like, you got to have that strong why. You got to have that understanding of, this is why I'm doing this. And my why is going to take me past all the hardships, past all the ups and downs, past all the hang-ups, the burnouts, not having any customers or having a few customers, the peaks and the valleys. Your why. You got to have a strong why. If you don't have that, guys, that will make your life as an entrepreneur a little bit more difficult. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss once again, lesson learned, things that I picked up this year, you know, thanking God for allowing me to live another year. You know, my birthday was August 15th. Like I said, I turned up by myself, but, I didn't eat good, though.
Where was Mike at?
He was cooking. So we had a seafood bake, and oh, my God, I got to tell you guys what we had after that. But I'm going to tell you when we come back right here on Grindology. Learn lessons, guys, lessons learned. I'm telling you, if you don't live, allow God to let you live a whole nother year, and you just don't think about and reflect on all the things that you learned with a T, learned, and all the things that you have grown to understand, then I don't know, guys, you got to try it again. I don't know about you, but I learned a lot through this COVID and all this craziness that's going on in the world right now. So this is what we're talking about right here on Grindology. study all things professional. We're talking about today learned lessons, lessons learned. I'm just saying, guys, God allowed me to live another year, and there's a lot of things that I learned this year, guys. I mean, it was just crazy, you know. One thing that I learned just from a little side conversation is that we know that tomorrow is not promised, and we know that even more now as we have engaged in just interacting with people and seeing people who are really close to us just leave, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, you know. And then you wake up and you go outside and you don't even know if that next day, you know, God is going to allow you to live. So one thing I did learn out of all that, guys, is I take one day at a time. That's all I got. I got one day to get it right. And if God allows me to wake up another day, then I got another day to get it right. That's all I can say. When I go to sleep, I'm just like, hey, did I do everything I need to do today? One of the things that I have been really driving on all, like, the beginning of this year, but most importantly, during this whole COVID and, you know, everything that we're experiencing, is that, God, I just need the wisdom to execute what you called me to do today. You know, give me this day my daily bread. Give me what is needed for today, because I'm not worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow got its own problems. I'm going to worry about today. So give me everything I need for today to execute what you need me to do today, and let me go ahead and work that out, you know, because that's a full-time job within itself. That's 24 hours right there. Everything that you have to do is literally 24 hours. So I thank God for those days. And then if I wake up another day, hey, I'm all good. I felt that was my Esther moment right there. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I'm telling you guys, it's real. It's real. It's real. But another thing that I've learned, guys, and this is one that's like really major, that you have to assume as an entrepreneur that you're going to succeed at your business. You have to give it like 10 to 15 year commitment. You know, you already know that, like, when you start your business, or when you, you know, whatever you're starting, nonprofit, whatever it may be, assume it's a 10 to 15 year commitment, because to succeed, most likely it is. So wherever you are now, if you continue to progress in a particular business venture, know that it's going to be about 10, 15 years. So I can say that I started my first business in, I want to say 2000, but I actually started this new business venture like last year. So I'm going to say by the time I'm 55, it best to be where it needs to be. That's all I'm just going to say. You know, it best to be where it needs to be. So, you know, plan for 10 to 15 years and dig deep and ask the questions. Now, these are the questions that you have to ask yourself, guys. What do I stand for? Okay, what do I stand for? What do I want to be remembered for? How do I want to earn my money and be remembered by? What are my alternatives? If I don't start this business, what else am I doing? Am I going to be, hustling? Am I going to be a junk man? What are your alternatives? What are your alternatives? Will this bring me fulfillment if we achieve our goal? Will this bring me fulfillment if I do this? You know, because that's another thing, guys. You got to have fulfillment in this thing. If you're not fulfilled, let me tell you, you're going to find yourself, you know, like running years to do something just to make money. Money is not the only purpose or the only motive to start a business. If it is, it's going to run out pretty quickly. What is my goal with the company? You got to have a goal, guys. You're not starting businesses out here without goals. You got to have a goal. Do I even want to be an entrepreneur? You know, sometimes you have to ask that question. A lot of times we see people all the time starting businesses, and then sometimes we get caught up in the hoopla of starting businesses. And then you start saying, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. But really think about that. Do you really want to do that? Because some people are okay with just doing their job and keep it moving, you know? So, you know, what's driving me? All these questions become inevitable. You're going to have to ask yourself these questions at one point or another in your life as an entrepreneur. You're going to have to ask these questions. What are my alternatives? I have thought about that all the time. Like, if I don't do this business venture, then what else am I going to do? You know, and I know for everybody, my main concern was that I did not want to work for somebody for the rest of my life. That's one of my strong whys. I love the company that I work for. I love my job. I love everything that I do in my job. Some of it is tedious, but for the most part, I just love what I do. But I don't want to be working for someone for like 20, 30 years. You know, I want eventually to do my own thing. So that was my strong why. My alternative is that I could work for, you know, a particular company for 30 years, or I could be like 30 years within a specific industry, you know, with the goals of moving up to possibly be, you know, VP after a certain amount of time. But for the most part, you have to understand and weigh out those options. Just weigh out your options. Identify, be real with yourself. Do you really want to be an entrepreneur? Because that takes a lot of time. Like, what is your why? What's your why, Dr. Dana? What is your why for TTLO?
I shared this before. My thing with TTLO was never, like, where we are now is never what I saw in at the beginning. We were just trying to do a radio show. We weren't trying to become a business. We were just trying to do a radio show. And then what we learned was that there was no – what we do didn't exist, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there are a couple people out, but what the way we do it and what we did didn't exist. So my why became there is a need. And then it grew into there is a need not only for us to do what we do, but there is a need to provide a platform for other people who have ideas that they want to get out there that can't do it, don't have the technical background, but they just want they just need a platform.
Yeah.
So my why became being a provider more than anything else. Because, like, you know, I talk to her all the time, our show will work anywhere. We can do that anywhere. But being a provider and pushing that for everybody else and giving everybody else opportunities, that's my why. So I think it because you don't, especially for us, for our people, we don't have that. You know, you're not just gonna walk in iHeartRadio or V103 and say, hey, I got an idea for a show. Let me get a show.
Yeah,
ain't happening.
No. And that's real talk. Yeah. That's real talk. Yeah. See, one of the things that I learned also in terms of, like you said, my why was you got to have that joy of serving others. You know, you can never have a business that is not revolved around serving others or helping others to succeed and providing a platform. If your why is solely to make money, that's going to be very difficult, because then you find yourself in the process of just chasing that dollar. But when your why becomes serving, when your why becomes helping others, you know, when your why becomes really making that necessary change, you feel a lot better, but it also helps you to endure those times when it's all, like, when all hell is breaking loose. So that's one of the things that I actually learned. Another thing that I learned, guys, another thing that I learned, oop, my bad. He's like, you still hearing the echo? It was an echo. Hello. Another thing that I learned, guys, was embracing pain for personal growth and finding joy in the journey is the mindset that you need. Embracing pain for personal growth and finding joy in the journey is the mindset that you need. They say the winners have already won and feel as though they're in possession of success they want with their company. So it's like you got to already embrace that. You know, you're going to understand that as an entrepreneur, you're going to experience pain. Hi, Vernicia. Hey, sis. You're going to understand that, you know, you're going to embrace pain, you know, starting up a business or going to that next level as a professional. Whatever venture or goal that you're going to, you're going to always experience that. You're going to have that pain, but you know that it's part of your growth. You know, there's been a lot of situations where, you know, like as an entrepreneur, you wake up, you know, sometimes you lose sleep. You know, you lose sleep. I wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about the business ventures and thinking about what I have to do and thinking about where, and it's more so sometimes it can get overwhelming. We can overthink ourselves into this whole, you know, you can really overthink yourself out of a business. I'm telling you, you can get to the point where you just then overwhelmed yourself and you try to think about everything from the beginning to the end. But at the end of the day, that's part of the journey. And you got to find joy in the journey. Some people just love to rush through and try to get from point A to point Z. But the joy is what you're learning, you know, who you're connecting with, you know, the circles that start to evolve and the connections that start to evolve as you're starting your business. It's like it's crazy over the people that I have, you know, had the opportunity to be mentored by or learn processes, even in my own, even in the company that I work for. Hey, Mona. Hey, Mona. That's one of my girls right there, Ramona. Tell Reverend John I said hi, because I know he's still on your hip. He's still on your hip. But those are the things that I had to definitely learn is that, okay, I'm not focus on or thirsty to just get to that point where I'm successful in the business. I look at the little things that I have to develop when it comes to communicating, when it comes to identifying pricing, when even in your mindset of thinking that you're worthy enough to be where you are. You know, like I'm worthy enough to start a business. I'm smart enough to start a business. I have enough skill set, because when you start looking at your competition, you start comparing yourself to your competition, and then you start thinking about what you don't have as a result of what they have or what they have that you don't have. And sometimes, like I said, that takes you to a whole nother different level. So, guys, I learned you have to enjoy, you have to enjoy the journey. Also, your business can only be as big as you are, to the extent that you become resilient. This means an emphasis on personal growth. You know, this is why you see entrepreneurs more than anyone else doing everything they can do to win an inch. You know, they just want to win in every aspect of their life. It's not just, hey, Pastor Bernadine. Oh my God, that's my girl right there. I'm going to have her on the show because she has a great social entrepreneurship venture that she's working on right now. So I can't wait to have you on the show, Pastor Bernadine. But definitely just like I said, just working on how big do you want this to be? You know, like it's only going to be as big as you think it. And one of the things I learned is that it's not identifying just the win and as an entrepreneur, but I seek to win like in every aspect of my life. You know, I eat differently. I look at things differently. I don't communicate the same way. I don't, you know, where I used to, you know, cuss 90 going north, but now I don't cuss as much, you know, as much. Love you too. I'm just saying, there's this thing.
What's 90 going north?
90 going north. 90 going north. You ain't never heard the term 90 going north.
Yeah, but that's the fact. Is that like going 90 miles an hour going north? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
That's what it means. 90 miles an hour going north. You learn something new. See? Learn lessons. You was going 70 going north. You was going 90 going north. But that's just it, guys. Everything, I start to change everything that I do, everything, even like the times that I get up, my ritual of when I get up, what do I do when I get up? The first thing I do when I plant my feet on the ground is I thank God for waking us up. You know, oh, he allowed me to see another day, because there's a lot of people who did not wake up, you know, so I look at that as a gift and I look at that as a start. So it's like, always being consistent in how you operate. That, those are the things that start to change your mind, and you start looking at the big picture. You start looking at how you communicate with people, what you tell people, because a lot of times you don't tell people. You know, you go from telling people everything about your business, you know, from A to Z, you know, and people don't understand that when you get into that mode of talking too much about what you're trying to do, it's like it brings more added heat. You know, it brings more, like, you know, you, first of all, you got more eyes. And if you talk to the wrong person, you got doubtful eyes on you now. Have you ever had those doubtful eyes, you know, with the ones that you told them that this is what you want to do? And see, for us as entrepreneurs, we're scared to communicate what we want to do. You know, like, I don't know about you guys. I'm scared to open my mouth. You know, I'd be like, God, if you want me to say something, I'm going to say it. But he has only told me to say it to a few people, you know. He don't tell you that every time you come around just so you can look like you're doing something or you got your stuff together. Oh, yeah, I'm starting a business venture. It's called Random Spoons, and it's going to be the hot thing on the chart. And it's like, next thing you know, like, everything starts to work against you getting there. And then you start to burn out. And then the next thing you know, the same person that you asked, you're going to be faced with that same person. Oh, hey, how's Random Spoons working? Yeah, we going through a little something right now. You ain't started. You ain't.
Dude down the street started to rent a fork.
It took you out of business. That took you all the way out of business. I'm just saying, guys, we have to be mindful. Be mindful of who we communicate to. There are certain, one thing that I have learned over this year is that you got to let things take root before you start to communicate. And you have to strategically communicate to the people that will be identified as vested in your vision,
right.
You know, because some people, they just want to be around just to, you know, see, you know, they just want to open their eyes and see what you're doing and get into it and then want to try to discourage you by doing what you're trying to do. And one thing I realized, understand, I can't do what you do. I'm not called to do what you're doing. I'm called to do what I'm doing. So when I start focusing on what God called me to do, I ain't got to worry about nothing else. I always do, like, when I deal with certain individuals and they come to me and they, like, Lisette, you know, I need this, this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other. I say, okay, I'm going to do what God told me to do. And that's it. And I'll leave it at that. And I do that part and then I move on. Because if I start trying to engage, you could probably suck me on into it, you know? And it's like that totally deters you. And that's another thing I learned, guys, that sometimes people and situations are designed to deter you off of what you're called to do. You know, sometimes we can be caught up in so many things that seem right to us, that seem right to it just feel good. It feel like we need to be there. It feel like we need to do this. But I always ask this question, you know, and I don't care. I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm a firm believer that everything that I do comes from God. So when it comes to that point of trying to understand what it is that I need to do, I pay attention. I quiet myself. I quiet my mind. I quiet my mouth. I don't do a lot of talking, and I focus on where is he leading me to, because a lot of times we think something is a good thing and we're compelled to do it. And we put hours and days and months and years into something that we're not called to do. So just make sure that whatever it is that you're doing, starting a business, idea, even where you're working, make sure that you're called to do it. You know, I know some people, hey, Ann, who are called to do what they're called to do, you know, and God moves and adjusts our lives, our daily lives, to fit exactly the assignment that he called us to do. And that's why I stand on that. That's all I got to say about that. Also, learn to always look for unfair advantages. I love that. The best entrepreneurs know this, right? Every great business is built around a secret that's hidden from the outside. A great company is a conspiracy to change the world. When you share your secret, you're the recipient. The recipient becomes a fellow conspirator. So So you learn how to ruthlessly, efficiently activate your business. You know, competitors win with unfair advantages, the key relationships, the IP that no one else has, the insight and the vision you see for a better world that others don't. That's one of the things. That is the real ticket to succeeding in any business that you're called to do, is knowing that you have been equipped with something that only you got.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When you know that, then you stop comparing yourself to others. You know, then you stop looking across in the other cubicle trying to figure out what somebody else is doing. You know, you start focusing specifically on your uniqueness, the things that you have that you know no one else has. You know, and sometimes the funny thing is we don't see that in ourselves. A lot of people see it in us, but we don't see it in ourselves. And it's not until we see it in ourselves where we can actually move. But you have that key element, which we call the unfair advantage, for everything that you're called to do. You have that key element. You just got to identify what it is. You got to identify what it is. That's one of the things like Ann that we always talk about. Ann is a travel guru. So when I say a travel guru, she has traveled some places that I don't even think black people would want to go. Antarctica. I would like to chill with a penguin, but not in the depths of the cold. You know, like these are the places that she go, you know. Like, you know, I'm like, she didn't see like the killer whales jump, you know, out of the sea and, you know, all. But that's why she's called to do what she does. And she has the personality to do it. And when you see like people's world shift to, you know, conform to exactly where God wants them to be, it's an amazing, amazing thing. I can't do it. I feel like Cool Runnings. Like, you know, have you seen the... You seen the movie Cool Runnings? Yes, I did. Cause I've been like watching Disney Plus, guys. So forgive me. That's who I'm watching now. I'm subscribing to Disney Plus, so I watch Cool Runnings. And as soon as they got off that plane, my man put on a snowsuit, a snow hat, and he put on every article of clothing in the bag and the bag. That's what I would be in Antarctica. It's probably a wonderful sight, but those, like, she's hovering around killer snakes.
Right.
Like, only you could be called to hover around killer snakes. I cannot sit there and watch a person sit there and do a snake dance. I don't care how original it may be. I'm in the back somewhere, like, somebody gonna get bit.
It's like, as pretty as it looks on the videos, I don't want to take an Alaskan cruise. I have no desire to be on the ship passing icebergs.
I mean,
I'm sorry. That just don't, you know, I got Titanic on the brain, but whatever. I just don't want to be floating by ice. I could stay here.
Yeah.
And
Chicago.
And do the Odyssey work in the wintertime? Do they go out? They don't. Well, I can go down there and just stand on the lakefront.
And you'll see icebergs.
And see an iceberg.
Right.
And might see a penguin, too.
Right. You might see a penguin. Might see a penguin or a seagull. You'll see a bird. You'll see a bird. That's all I'm saying. You'll see a bird. I'm just saying. You'll see something. You'll see a pigeon. You know, we
right.
Notorious for pigeons in Chicago. You know, Mike, he sees birds that I don't even understand. Like he be seeing what's those cranes and stuff. How do you see a crane in Chicago? Where's a crane at in Chicago? But he sees it. Let's pray for let's pray for Dr. Dana. But that's my song. That was another song I played. You know, I partied all by myself. Yeah, I had to drink it away. Another thing that I learned, guys, is that starting a business, you have to be aggressive. You know, you can't be passive when you're starting a business. I know it's magical. I'm like, it's one of them things, I know, but you have to be aggressive. You have to really go in with the notion that you're going in to win. You know, you can't go in and, you know, and that was one of the things that I learned, because I always went into things all soft, you know, like, oh, if you just accept my work, you know, and I just go in with this nice little bubbly, laid back, you know, non-confrontational, you know, you can pay me, but you really don't have to, because I just get joy out of doing my work. Type of feeling. And I had to learn, like, no, you got to pay me my coin. You know, I didn't work all these hours. If I now I have a where I didn't have a price point, I have a price point now, you know, and that comes from maturity. You know, you do get to that point as a startup entrepreneur where you're doing things because you're so passionate about it. And then you want to connect with people and get that, credibility as it relates to your work. So you know, you go out, you engage, you do a lot of stuff for free, you do a lot of stuff for less money. But then when you get to the point where you're bona fide, because there is a point that you get to, guys, when you become bona fide, you charge the right prices. That's all I'm saying. You charge the right prices. Here's another thing that I learned, guys. To manufacture passionate work, you got to do something that's worth dying for. Now, people are like, I ain't going to die for this. I ain't going to die for this. I don't know about that. What you mean? You're going to be worth dying for? No, to manufacture passionate work, you have to do something that's worth dying for. Find something worth dying for and live for it. That's just what it is. Like, here's the thing, and this is one of the things that I've always said, like in the beginning of our, you know, show, was that if you have a vision, a lot of times your vision is a legacy that's going to continue even when you're gone. So we really don't have short-term visions. This is something that you are drawn to do that is going to create and grow like a tree. And it's going to be there long before you're gone. Look at McDonald's, you know, look at Walmart, look at Walgreens, look at every business that's out here that's been around for a long time, where the founder of it is not here to see where it is now. He might be here in spirit, but he's not here to see where it is now. That's what your vision is. Your vision is something that is going to continue long before. So when we say you have to find something that's worth dying for, you have to find something that you're so passionate about that you know that is going to grow and expand, and you have that vision that it's going to grow and expand even when you leave. You're going to still be making impact. It's still going to be feeding your children and your children's children. It's going to leave the legacy that it is called to leave, you know. And that's just what it is. There's a lot of people who have gotten the promises of God and didn't get a chance to see it all the way to the end, right? All right now, but that's what I'm just saying. That's it. Because that's real raw. You just have to be, you know. I asked God, I'm like, let me see a good part of it. You know, let me see the good piece of it, God. You know, I don't want to leave in midstream. You know, I want to get to the point where it's like where it is. I'm like, all right, God, I fulfilled my mission. You know, and I bow gracefully and keep it moving. But that's a good one. Another thing that I learned, guys, is don't make the mistake of following your passion, because everyone always says I'm following my passion. He said, the trick is to become a passionate person by embracing obstacles for growth, not have your passion activity bring it out of you. You know, so your passion should not be the force that causes you to move. You should be already passionate and that you move all by yourself. It shouldn't be that thing that, oh, you know, I'm passionate about it, so this is what's giving me energy. It's way more. You just got to be passionate altogether and allow that passion to take you to the rooms to grow. So many people believe, and I was one of them, that if they simply make their work the craft that they love, enjoy doing, they'll chug along and get through the pains of entrepreneurship. However, success in entrepreneurship is based on so many different things, right? Market, product, marketing, timing, team, hiring, and the list goes on and on, actually much longer than that. So if you like to cook food, understand that starting a restaurant is much different than the activity of making the food. It's managing the people, the expenses, marketing, PR. It's risk, it's margins, it's, you know, it's the whole full gamut, right? So at the end of it, you'll lose your passion in all your day-to-day. Now you're just working your business just to be working it, and then you lose your passion. So you have to be passionate about everything that engages with your calling. Everything, the little things. I know we don't like to tally up them receipts and file taxes at the end of the year and all that stuff. That stuff is a headache, but it's a part of the process. You know, if you're passionate just in general, yeah, now you can push past those things. You can, you know, do your taxes with a smile on your face. you can do the, is that the type of smile? That's all you, that is almost, that's not even a full smile. That's crazy. Yeah, that's what it is. You're quasi up in there. But, and one, another thing that I learned, guys, is ideas are cheap, right? Everybody has an idea. Ideas are easy. Ideas are common. Everybody has an idea. Ideas are highly, highly overrated. Execution is all that matters. So guys, at the end of the day, if you just have ideas, sometimes you're called to be the ideal man. Maybe that's all you supposed to do. But to make a calling or a business or anything that you're called to do, I had to learn. You have to do it. You have to execute it. You have to execute it. You can't just say, oh, I got an idea. And then that's all. That's it. I got an idea. That's it. That idea requires funds. It requires money. It requires time, energy. It requires you to get up and go to work and still come in and execute this idea. You know, so it has to be worth it. Goes back to the other lesson, guys. I mean, is it worth dying for? Is it worth you waking up in the wee bit of the hours to get this thing done? Is it worth the energy? If it's not, then you have to go back and ask if this is the right vision. Because a lot of visions, it's worth that. I mean, I'm pretty sure, Dr. Dane, that not every time you want to come on in here, you know, sometimes you just be wanting to be like, cancel TTLO forever. But you get up, and you come and you do it. And it's the commitment of it. The commitment of it. It matters a lot. It matters a lot. But guys, I'm telling you, I've learned a lot. I've understood a lot over these years, especially this year. I feel like every year you should grow. Every year you should get to that point where you're excelling. You know, it should never be a year that you're stagnant. You know, you should have learned something. You should have, you know, did something different, changed in some type of way for the good, you know, moved in a way that will take you closer to your dreams. Now I'm feeling like Gopel, that's my song. That's my song, Closer to My Dreams. It should, yes. I don't know what that was. But you was there. Whatever it was. I was going to say, do it again. What is that? Guys, I'm telling you, you just... y'all got it, because this is crazy. Closer to your dreams. That's what he was singing. But I don't know what the words is coming out. So y'all just he was going with the flow. But I want to close out with this, guys, and this is one of the things that I wrote in my journal for this year, and it was actually one of the things that I was putting in that book. And I hope you you working on that book, Mama. I hope that that book is getting out there. I'm still your accountability partner when it comes to that book, so I know it's I know you're working on it. But one of the things that I wrote in my journal is change is a relationship. Change is a relationship. It says, have you ever had a time when you plan to make a great change in your life, such as lose weight and you fail, and you plan again and you fail again? Then you beat yourself up for being a failure, and then you stop. Had this plan to make this great change happen, and you made this plan that you was going to put everything, you had everything set, everything in motion, and it fails. Why is the question that we ask? Why does that happen? And one of the things, and this is what I put in there, you can't treat change like a one-night stand. Change is a long-term relationship that requires various elements to be successful. First, it takes your willingness to commit in good times and bad times. When you feel like you're doing it, when you feel like doing it and when you don't. To help stay committed, you must have a good reason why. Going back, guys, to that why. What is our why? You have to have a good reason why you are committed to this specific change in your life. Secondly, change takes patience. Like any relationship, in order for it to grow, you must be patient. You have to be patient and wait for things to grow. Things just do not just grow overnight. I've never seen anything grow overnight. So I had this statement, and this I'm going to leave with you guys. Finish this statement. I am committed to blank because of blank. I am committed to blank because of blank. Whatever this thing is, guys, that this change that you're having, I don't know what the change is, whether it's starting a business, whether it's just changing the way you talk or the way you act or, you know, whatever it is, you're committed to this because of what? You don't have to tell me, but just say, I am committed to blank because of blank. Now ask yourself, is this reason good enough to make me commit no matter the circumstance? I like that. I wrote that. That's good. That's good. That's almost T.D. Jakes level right there. Now, it's a t-shirt. Now ask yourself this once again. Now ask yourself, is this reason good enough to make me commit no matter what, no matter the circumstance? Write some things about this change that will make you impatient. You know, like we know that we get impatient over change. But why are we impatient? You know, do we want to see this weight drop, you know, immediately so that we can stunt on our ex? Or do we want to, you know, make sure that we get, you know, this car right now because we want to show people, you know, sometimes the impatient thing is not really a personal thing as in a matter of trying to show somebody something. So let's talk about those things. Write down some of the things about this change that will make you impatient. And then finish this statement. I will patiently wait on blank. I will patiently wait on blank. So whatever it is, tell yourself, I will patiently wait on that. And just like that, you know, just like you cannot be in a relationship with everyone, you can't change everything. So you have to make sure and understand that. I love you, Neil. Neil says, I am committed to food because it is amazing. Boy, you better stay committed to food. You better stay committed to food because it's amazing. It was so crazy. But those are the things, guys. You have to realize that change is a relationship. So if you're not if you don't know how to handle relationships, you don't know how to handle change. You know, you have to be in relationship with your change. You have to embrace it. You have to be patient with it. You have to understand why you're changing and the reasons behind it, and you have to allow that to happen. That is the ultimate A1 lesson that I've learned this year. God has allowed me to see 42, and I will continue as long as he continues to allow me to live, and then I will come back next year with some more lessons learned. But guys, it has been great spending time with you. I love each and every one of you. I think almost everybody on here, I have had the chance to engage in their vision and understand like the businesses that they're birthing and the passion behind it. And I'm excited for what God is doing in your life. I'm excited for where you're going. I'm excited for the change. I know it's rough. I know it's crazy. I know it's costly. I know sometimes you just want to just drop it and just go somewhere and hide in a cave, but you can't because the assignment is designed for you. So, guys, I love you. I will see you next Thursday. We have a guest next Thursday. Just stay tuned for the promos. It's going to be a humdinger. And until then, guys, I mean, we just make sure that, you know, we're working on those things that we're called to do. And I'm going to continue to pray for your visions, pray for mine, and we're going to get to where we need to go to. See, that's why you my producer. That is why you my producer. He don't even know the words to the song. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't even go in it. This is not karaoke moment. But, guys, this has been Grindology, where we study all things professional. Your dreams are my dreams. My dreams are your dreams. We're going to go to this next level. And if you guys need anything, anything, just holler at your girl. I love you. So silly.
I don't know the words.
You sound like a dead cat. A whole dead cat.
That's what I sound like.
Your brother Neil said he's waiting patiently on a personal chef.
I wish people had personal chef money. Come on now.
I don't mind going to work with you back there.
Look at it. See, Mike works for the penny.
Hey. No,
it's closer to my dream. I'm going higher.
Yes, you can do that. Oh, Jesus, why? Oh, that's different. What's this?